So you may already be able to tell by looking around this morning that we're perhaps doing things a little bit differently today. The communion table is set. There's this big thing here in the center aisle. And I am going to mix it up as well. And we are going to have two scripture readings today. I know there's only one in the bulletin, but we're going to have two. So yeah, so our first scripture reading today is coming from Exodus chapter 12. Verses 1 through 14, hear the word of the Lord. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall mark for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell the whole congregation of Israel that on the 10th of this month they are to take a lamb for each family, a lamb for each household. If a household is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join its closest neighbor in obtaining one. The lamb shall be divided in proportion to the number of people who eat of it. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a year old male. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of this month. Then the whole assembled congregation of Israel shall slaughter it at twilight. They shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the lamb that same night. They shall eat it roasted over the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted over the fire with its head, legs, and inner organs. You shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. This is how you shall eat it: your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it hurriedly. It is the Passover of the Lord. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt, both human beings and animals. On all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be a day of remembrance for you. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall observe it as a perpetual ordinance. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Please join me in prayer. Holy Spirit, open our hearts and minds this morning that we may encounter you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So I would like you, by a show of hands, to raise your hand if you are someone who is a type A personality. Oh, not very many of you. Some of you a little skittish, maybe? Well, type A people tend to be organized, proactive, high-achieving workaholics who often take on more than they can handle. I am very type A. This description sounds a lot like me and perhaps like some of you as well. So I'm super type A, and so I am always planning things out, and I like to be prepared. As a matter of fact, really, that's the reason that I plan. I plan to ensure that I'm prepared for any possible situation that could come my way. And there is probably little that I hate more than being unprepared. The times of highest anxiety for me are usually those times when I have little to no time to prepare for whatever is coming next. And so I cannot imagine being an Israelite in Egypt in the passage from Exodus that we just read. Because Moses and Aaron have been doing this kind of dance, this back and forth with Pharaoh for a while now. Let my people go. And Pharaoh says no. And then there's a plague. And then they kind of keep having this back and forth, back and forth. And I am sure that the people who are really type A like me have a what if plan, a what if Pharaoh ever says yes and lets us go. But I mean, how do you really even plan for that? After hundreds of years of being in slavery, what is the plan for now we are suddenly free? And so this keeps going on and on, and Moses and Aaron and Pharaoh keep going back and forth and back and forth until finally God says to Moses, it's go time. Tonight is the night, and it is coming, and you are going to be free. Get ready to pack up, because we are leaving Egypt. Now, God says, don't worry, all of you type A's, listen close. I have very detailed instructions for you for how to prepare. Instructions, some of which we just read from Exodus 12, telling us what to do and how to prepare. And God says, you need to listen closely. You need to follow my instructions, because you are going to remember this day forever. You are going to celebrate this night and what happens here forever. And they do. The Jewish people to this day still celebrate the Passover. They celebrate that God passed over them, that God passed over the Israelites as the spirit of death came and killed the firstborn males, both human and animal, of all of the Egyptians. Now, part of what is really interesting about the Passover and the meal that is key to the celebration of the Passover is that the very first Passover meal precedes the actual Passover event. In what we read in Exodus 12, in the instructions that God gives, in the meal that they have, this is before the Passover has actually happened. And so the Passover meal is how God instructs the people to prepare for the coming Exodus. The meal is what they're supposed to do. And key to that preparation is sacrifice, sacrificing a lamb. Now, sacrifice can be something that is hard for us to wrap our minds around, because it's not really something that we see or can relate to or do as part of our faith now. So it's foreign to us, but this would have been very common and easy to understand for the Israelites, because sacrifice is a part, or was a part, of the Jewish faith, and it also would have been common just among other religions and practices in general. So the people would have been very familiar with sacrifice, and so that in itself would not have been an odd request or way to prepare. And yet this sacrifice that God instructs them to make, the sacrifice of the lamb, is very different from the typical sacrifice. You see, there's no altar or no priest. And normally in animal sacrifice, the meat is placed on the altar, and a lot of times none of it is left for the people to eat. But sometimes they could eat parts of it, but the best meat was always given to God. So if the people could eat any of the meat from their sacrifice, it was kind of like the scraps and the dregs of what was left, because you were going to put the best meat on the altar to God. But that is not the case this time. Instead, God gives them instructions that sound familiar to us here now, but would have been very foreign to the people hearing them. Twice, God tells them to take the lamb. Three times, God says to eat the lamb. Rather than offering this meat to God, you Israelites are to eat it. Because God knows what lies ahead for them. God knows that they need a hearty meal, something that will fill them and help sustain them for the long journey that lies ahead of them. Now, God tells them to eat this meal with their sandals on, staff in hand, and to eat it quick, to be ready to go, because as soon as they finish eating, it is going to be time for their journey. And then God tells them what to do with the blood of the lamb. Because there's no altar, because they're not offering it on the altar, God tells them to take the blood from the lamb and to spread it across their doorposts as a sign that they are the Israelites, as a sign that they are to be spared and protected from the plague that is about to come. Now, if you are deeply familiar with the story of Moses and the Exodus and all the plagues leading up to this, and this instruction may actually seem rather odd, because there have already been lots of plagues, locusts and boils and darkness, and in all of these, the Israelites were spared. They only impacted the Egyptians. And so up until this point, God has had no problem distinguishing the Israelites from everyone else from the Egyptians. So why now? Why this time do they need to do something different? Do they need to put the blood on the doorposts as a sign of who they are? The answer comes in Exodus verse 13. The blood of the lamb shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. The blood shall be a sign for you. God doesn't need the blood on the doorpost to know who are the Israelites and who are the Egyptians. The blood, the sign, is for them. It's for us. Because it signals to us that God is protecting us. It reminds us of who God is and that God is with us. And so the Jewish people celebrate the Passover every year, and they remember how God delivered them from slavery in Egypt, and they offer thanksgiving that they were spared by the blood of the Lamb. Now, you may be wondering, Laura Allen, I thought this series was called The Final Day, and that we are going to be talking about Jesus and his final day, and we are, because Jesus' final day is the Passover, that years and years later, they're still celebrating the Passover, and that is how Jesus' final day begins, which brings us to our gospel lesson, which comes from the Gospel of Luke, the 22nd chapter. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover meal for us, that we may eat it." They asked him, "Where do you want us to make preparations for it?" "Listen," he said to them, "when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house he enters and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, already furnished. Make preparations for us there." So they went and found everything as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When the hour came, he took his place at the table, and the apostles with them. He said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he did the same with the cup after the supper, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But see, the one who betrays me is with me, and his hand is on the table. For the Son of Man is going as it has been determined, but woe to that one by whom he has been betrayed." It is the Passover. It is the festival and the meal that they have been celebrating since before the first Passover event that we read about in Exodus. And Jesus, as a faithful Jew, is ready to celebrate with his disciples on the evening of the Passover. Now, just as an aside and a fun fact for you, I know we're talking about how this is Jesus' final day, but on the Jewish calendar, the day actually begins at sundown. So even though this is technically taking place on Thursday night, it would be the beginning of Jesus' final day. On Friday, we took our confirmation class to the synagogue and for worship, and the rabbi explained to us that the reason why the day begins at sundown is because in the creation story in Genesis, it says there was evening and there was morning the first day. And so that's why the Jewish calendar or a cycle of days begins at sundown. So this is the beginning of the final day as he gathers with his disciples. And so he sends Peter and John out ahead of time to prepare the Passover meal. And they would have known what to do. They've had the instructions in Exodus. And this would have been a meal that Jesus and his disciples have been celebrating and participating in since they were young children. And so it would have started out very familiar to them. They would have known the components and the things around the table. But then something changes. Jesus looks at them and he says, "It's go time. The time is now." He tells them that, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." Jesus is telling them everything that's about to happen. It's as though he looks at them and says, "Listen closely. Hear what I have to say, because this is a day that you are going to remember forever. This is a meal that you are going to celebrate forever." Because just like at the Passover, at least part of the celebration of resurrection precedes the actual event. And that this gathering with his disciples, this meal that we call the Last Supper, is also a means of preparing the disciples for what is to come. For he talks about the suffering he's about to endure, that he is about to be betrayed, and he shares with them a meal that prepares them for resurrection, and a meal that continues to prepare us for what is to come. As they're gathered at the table, Jesus tells them a sacrifice is soon to be made. And sacrifice would still be common in this culture at this time and familiar to them, but this sacrifice is also one that is very different than what they are used to. For yet again, there's no altars and no priests, and instead, there is a cross. And so Jesus sits with them and he gives them new instructions, still to take and eat, but instead of a lamb, it is bread and wine. Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." This is my body. This is the hearty meal that will fill you and sustain you for the journey that lies ahead. And it is given. It is broken for you. For you. For you. And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is poured out for you and is the new covenant in my blood." This cup is poured out for you and for you and for you. And this cup is the new covenant in my blood, in Jesus' blood. Friends, it isn't a coincidence that Jesus' final day is the Passover. Especially John, the writer of John's gospel, goes out of his way to make it very clear that Jesus' crucifixion and the Passover are happening at the same time, that this is not coincidence, that this is not accident. Jesus is the new covenant. Jesus is the new lamb. The blood on the doorpost is no longer needed because we have new blood and we need to sacrifice a lamb no more. Now, when we gather at the table for the sacred meal, we still feast on the lamb. It's just not lamb meat. It's bread. And no longer do we need blood on the doorposts. because we can remember the blood on the cross. But today, as we begin this journey through Jesus' final day, we have both. Blood on the doorposts and the lamb at the table. And in a few minutes, we are going to celebrate this meal, and we're going to invite you to come forward. And I recognize that logistically it might be a little difficult for all of you to make it through the door, but we're going to invite you either before you come to the table or before you leave the sanctuary today to pass through the doorway, to see the blood and to humbly remember that God has saved us from death. Maybe not death here on this earth, but that there is life after death. Because after you pass through the doorway, you're going to come and you're going to receive the bread of life. The bread of eternal life that fills us and sustains us, and that is really only just beginning for each of us. Of the life and joy that is to come. And so as you pass through and as you receive this bread, may you humbly remember what God has done for us. And may you rejoice that it was all done for you. Thanks be to God. Amen.